want me to do, talk about and everything, you know? And I just want to give you a little commercials, first of all. I like some commercials, the good commercials here. A couple of things that are going on. We've got the Beale Street going on again. I don't know if you know who Beale Street is. The Beale Street is coming up in May. If you want one of these, let me know. It's an opportunity to go. It's been going on for like 18 years. I've been there two or three times. Brother Hoffman's been there a couple times, I mentioned. That's where you get a bunch of people, and they witness and go through the Beale Street blast. They didn't have it the last 2 years, I don't think it is, but they're having it again this year. It's May 4th, 5th, and 6th. Real blessing. Meet at the church. They have music, fellowship, food. We're Baptists. We like the food part. Amen. Anyways, and then they have go out on Saturday morning to witness, and just you can hold signs, you can witness the folks, just go along. Then they take you to a bus from the church to the event. And Saturday night they do it. Friday night they do it. Saturday morning and Saturday, you know, three opportunities to go. I got the email here. Everything costs $50 for the meals and the bus, get your own place to stay. So I'll keep that in mind. Beale Street, May 4th, 5th, and 6th. Well worth going. If the Lord lays on your heart, you'll get a blessing, guaranteed. Another thing going on, the Hauser family, remember them? They were here with the two kids. They're in South Trial Roll, they call that. They're having a Alpine Gospel Week, October 21 and 28th. Hey, man, you know what's best when someone organizes an event? You just show up. It's a lot of times organizing things are the hardest thing of all, getting things together. It's all organized. Like, if you want to get a thing here, I think it's $1,100. Got to get there, of course, you know. But I'll give you this brochure. You can fill it out, email them. They're going all over the week, handing tracts out, preaching, fellowship, meal. I mean, your stays are included, breakfast included. If the Lord lays on your heart, pray about it. Send a young person there. If you can't go, hey, someone interested can go, maybe help sponsor them, whatever, you know. So, I mean, nothing better if you can't go, send someone, and they get their life changed. Yeah, part of it. So, there's a little thing on it, what they're doing, all the events. I emailed him, and you're going to be going to some great, beautiful area, Switzerland, Italy, and all that, up in the Alp areas. He says most people, even though they speak Italian and some German, they can speak English. So they're happy to hear. They want to hear you speak. You know, so keep that in mind. A couple of spots here. I got a brochure on it here. I'll keep them here. Let me know. Pray about it. Send the email. He's a good brother in the Lord. Okay. Interesting little article. Before we get into our lesson here. We know we had this World Economic Forum. I talked about it last few times, right? I could literally spend this whole time going through news media articles and open the Bible and showing you stuff going on. It's phenomenal. You have end time events going on right in front of you. Amen? Pretty amazing. Well, here it is. A lady, a liberal, a lawyer, you know, Lena, I know you don't know more. This is from the World Economic Forum, and the European Commission official had laws against hate speech, with soon being coming to the United States. Vera Jourla, a Czech politician and lawyer, boy, what a bad mix that is, right? Amen? Who is the vice president of the European Committee of Values and Transparency, was speaking on laws against illegal hate speech, and she said, which will soon be in the United States. A lot of times other countries pave the way, the ground for coming. You understand that, folks, right? You know, you look at what's going on, you know, it's going to be one world deal. She might have been aware of there's a hate speech thing going on now that New York passed about all these websites. And this is in U.S. law in New York. Requires any social media site that operates in New York to set up a public channel via which users can report so-called hate speech, and obligates the site's owners to respond directly to anyone who uses it. If they refuse, they can be fined $1,000 a day. See, that's still quite borderline on our First Amendment, but it's a first prompt getting in there. You get that, whatever, you know. Like YouTube could shut you down if something happens. It appears it's open door to any social media platform to register a complaint. It's like YouTube. You know, you can get a lot of good things on YouTubes, but anyone that says anything, you know, that they don't like, they just shut you down. You know, so you have to use words so the algorithm will catch you. You can't use the word COVID too much. Kind of crazy. Controversial subjects such as biblical gospel will create such a firestorm that the platforms will be forced to limit these subjects. Europeans are further down the road than we are putting in legislation to put a lid on what they call hate speech. These laws demand that social media platforms become refuges for or against what they call disinformation. You know, remember disinformation, disinformation? Those are buzzwords. Those are buzzwords for lies. They don't even want to use the word lies. They call this, and they use disinformation and misinformation for truth. They completely flip things kind of around. It says here, disinformation is defined as a very nebulous terms such as Western values, democracy, equity. Hear those buzzwords? Remember about a year ago I mentioned those buzzwords? Be careful what those words are. They're brainwashing, especially the young folks. You get that, folks? Which government addresses, and it means. There is a worldwide move against so-called disinformation. That term and the other words, misinformation, are being used to promote really lies. But today, truth is anyone's idea of what they want to promote. Amen? Western culture has become a great cauldron of swirling idolatries. But most of them have one thing in common. They hate the Bible, anyone who holds a standard for truth. Amen? I mean, that's really your, I mean, what is your final authority? There has been many attempts to get around the First Amendment, which in our country here, it guarantees that we have for freedom of speech. Under current First Amendment jurisprudence, hate speech can only be criminalized when it directs or incites immediate criminal activity or violence against a group. No, I would agree with that. Or so far, we had enough judges willing to enforce this constitutional guarantee in most states, but the European lady is convinced that will change. America's freedom of speech has, for very few hundred years, guaranteed that truth of the Bible could be preached wherever it was accepted by the hearers. People were free to take it or walk away, but they're not doing it anymore. I just listened to Jack and Sandy. You know who they are, the street preachers, whatever. You know Jack and Sandy, Kayla. You know who they are. They're been around for a while, and they don't go to any more of these queer events because when they just preach, hold a banner up there, they're so hated. They go, hey, they're threatening us, they're throwing rocks. And last time you went out, the police go, hey, man, these people want to get you. And they had to put them in a paddy wagon. It felt bad going in a paddy wagon, but to get out of there, he goes, we're not going anymore. I mean, though the freedom of speaking is turned. Now, give me an example. How many seen the funeral of Terry Nichols, the black guy that died in Memphis? Okay, don't waste your time. I'll give you a 5-minute sample of right now. I'm saving you time right now. Come to Sunday school, amen. The Reverend Al Sharpton ministered that, you know. I mean, hey, you know, why do I watch that? I want to see what's going on. Here's Reverend Al Sharpton. It was a 2-hour, 15 minutes. It was, you know, think about it. Hey, they lost their son. Regardless, you say, that's the time to pray, minister to them. Hey, let's minister to the family. All it was is one political appeal from start to finish. You know, he comes up, he's full of pride. I mean, is this recorded? I don't like Al Sharpton, okay, you know. And then he had the vice president there, Kamala Harris. And she actually quoted a scripture. Let me show you a scripture she quoted. She quoted, I mean, all it is this is, you whites have basically transgressed us, and we're not taking still for it anymore. I mean, that's what it's a political movement. That's hate. I mean, what though? Instead of ministering to the family of somebody, they're just completely not ministering to the family at all. They're pushing. That's hate. But Kamala Harris once quoted one verse. You know, I'm like, me and Joe are signing these documents, whatever happens. And she quoted Luke. Verse 1, let's see what verse she quoted here. It's interesting how people quote the scripture, you know. If I can find it here. I thought I have it here. Luke chapter, let me see if I have it here. I thought I had it here. Mark, Luke, excuse me, folks. Oh, here we go. Luke 1:79. Now, if you guys know the Bible, the context of Luke here, 79, it's talking about John the Baptist. And he's the forerunner to the Lord Christ. He's going to be the forerunner to introduce Jesus Christ. Well, she quoted this verse here. Here's this. I want to quote my favorite Bible verse, Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And so she then took that verse and put it as this guy that died, he's our light. He's our light to peace, so we, us people, the black people, could have peace with being in charge. I mean, completely out of context. I mean, that's a typical thing. That's her verse. And Al Sharpton had three verses he read in Daniel. I had no idea what he was talking about. But the Lord Jesus Christ was never mentioned. Any sort of salvation plan. It all was a so-and-so's in the house. And he's naming people. He's in the house, you know, the house, church house, whatever, you know. And they're all applauding. I mean, political 101. I mean, that's what's going on today in America. That's the peace that's really kind of running our, it's called for peace, running America. Okay. All right, we're getting a lesson today. It's a Bible here for change. Okay. European stuff. That's all no good. All no good. You know what the bottom line is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I get going. I'm way behind. Whoa. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Man, he's coming. Hey, folks, if you can't see that, you're blind. I'm Salcha. If you can't see that literally we're so close, you can taste it. Amen? The last hymn that was quoted, hey, the Lord is coming back. That should be exciting for the saint. That should be tremendous exciting for the saint. And you can see things are repeating itself from the Old Testament, a coming light. I mean, God kind of repeats history right here again, right in front of us. And we can see it, and it should drive the saint not only to his knees, we got to move it. Okay, so here's our Bible lesson, and they may think it's a little strange one, but if I can get through it today, which I probably won't, I'll include tomorrow, the ending's good. I mean, I'm a big on application, as you probably know. I like application. Good at getting Bible knowledge is good, but you know what, though? It's the application of the scripture that makes it effective. And if you're a plumber and you have all these tools there, and you got all whatever the wrenches are and monkey wrenches, everything, you know, and that's great to have them, but then here's the function of them, which is great, but where you get anything involved with taking those tools and applying and fixing something. You have to work, right? The Bible, same way. Reading it is great, understanding it and getting doctrine, but it's the application of it where it gets effective. That's like, the Lord wants you, you know, tell your kids, you don't train somebody up. All information and do it at home. They're applying what you know. So I'm big on application. And my lesson here, it says, why do we believe in purgatory? Now, obviously, I'm talking from a Catholic perspective, but I'm going to show you some things that have gone on in the past, are coming on now, and will be the future. So I want to read you something here. And what's interesting about this is how people, individuals, Catholics, you know, whether I believe some Catholics are saved, but how important doctrine is, the application doctrine, and show you at the end how one thing that we have, the born-again believer, a part of eternal security, confronts all this. Now, this is their book approved by the Pope. And the reason why I kind of push this a little bit, because this is my opinion based on Scripture, so my opinion means nothing, is the great whore of Revelation. I mean, you can see how the devil has used that, quote, church around the world to do his bidding. Amen? Now, that's pretty clear. See, that's important. You know that. You know why? Because, well, you know, they're Christian and all that. You know, I mean, hey. I mean, the devil has used people to deceive it. You know, look at Judas Iscariot for a moment. Judas Iscariot, he says, I've chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil. You remember, the devil came, he was a devil. I don't think he realized the devil until Satan came into him, right? Amen? I mean, so a lot of times, the devil will use people, and even though they're being used later on, they said, later on. So that's an amazing thing, how, you know, how all that works. Well, let me just read this here, and we'll get through a little part of it today, finish it tomorrow. Here's what they say. I like, what do they say? And here we have final authority. Let's see the difference here. This is what they say. Why we believe in purgatory. C.S. Lewis, no offense, I'm not a big C.S. Lewis fan. The author of Mere Christianity and the Chronicles of Narnia, or Narnia, was not Catholic, but he did believe in the existence of purgatory. He knew dying does not change our sinful hearts, so God must do something to us after death in order to make us fit to spend eternal life with him. Now, obviously, I'll get to the end. He's missing a real key thing, C.S. Lewis. Would he save or lost? I don't know. I don't read his material. Early on, I saw some things about him that he was kind of ecumenical, is the word to use. You know, I don't like ecumenical things. I kind of got out of that way back when I got saved. And I got rid of a lot of things. I didn't like, you know, charismatic, ecumenical. Some of these people here, I just put them off and help you grow. But this is what they start. Now, look here. 1 John 5:17. The first verse they quote is, all wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin which is not mortal. I just quoted you there, 1 John 5:17. Let me show you the King James says. Remember, the perfect book. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. So they use this word mortal there, and then they use a word venial. Okay? By the way, how many times venial is found in the Bible? Anyone have an idea? None! I mean, but watch how they, it's important how they built a precept to deceive people off the years. After you, you know, one of the best things to do for study is study church history. It is most, without, beside the Word of God, no question, church history is the best study ever did. Because you see where people came from, and you see the wickedness of this, quote, their doctrine, that just deceived people, put them in bondage, stole their money, stole, it's not a minor thing, it's a big thing. So watch how deceitful they are. And a believer should be able to have his ears up and hear something, and in 5 minutes know, right, gentlemen? You ought to know enough scripture, young folks. Well, hey, I'm hearing something, it don't sound right. I think a good believer, sometimes it takes a while to understand that, like, oh, that's Calvinism, that's economic. You just know it don't sound right because you know the Word of God. It's like having good monies. A good banker, now we have credit cards, but when you know what real money looks like, real money, when you get a fake money, you know right away that's a fake because you know what real stuff talks like. Same thing, we got the real truth here, you know what's a phony. So here's what they say. These sins forfeit our hope of eternal life, which God, unless we ask God to forgive them through the sacrament of reconciliation confession. So their, quote, mortal sin, they added, is if you die in mortal sins without confession, you're doomed. That's what they say now, Hammond. Unlike mortal sin, venial sins hurt the soul, but do not kill God's grace within it. These are the sins which people commit in their day-to-day life, and do not completely separate them from God, but do hurt their relationship with him. And part of that's true. If you're a believer and saved, and you have sin in your life, it affects your relationship. But that's partly true, and there's a lot of truth in some of this. But it's not called venial sins. Catholics don't have to confess these sins to a priest, unless they want to, in parentheses. And the Eucharist also cleanses us from these sins. But what happens to people that don't seek the sacramental die in an unclean state in venial sin? So what they're saying is, think about this here, deception. What a money-making scam. Hey, you have these venial sins, and you need to get the Eucharist, come in and get this little wafer God in you, and you forgive those, and you better not have any mortal sin. So here's their thing. Since these people died in a state of grace and friendship with God, there is no possibility they can go to hell, but they have to go to purgatory. Now, let me give you their verses they use, and we'll look at this thing here. They use Revelation 21, 27. Now I'm just going to read it from the King James because they have it all messed up. Revelation 21, 27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh the lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that verse sitting out there, person owner of Bible, well, they read that verse, and what they say is, well, obviously, these people need to have, it says here, it is logical, if logically follows, using logic, therefore, that these saved souls will be purged of their sins prior to spending eternity with God. According to the catechism, the church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of this elect, which entirely differs from punishment of the damned. So they're saying, well, but if you look at the context, remember the context? Remember, perfect word of God is the King James Bible rightly divided. Context is part of that. Well, the context is here. If you know your Bible, read it. This is after new heaven and earth, verse 1, right? Look at verse 1. The new heaven, this is later on. It's New Jerusalem, verses 10 and 31, and it's a different salvation for Gentiles, for nations, verses 24, 26. Read it. I mean, they're pulling them out of context later. They're taking some verses and they're trying to get you horns, not you, people hornswoggled by the millions. By the millions. Now, purgatory is not alternative heaven or hell. It is a second chance to choose God. All souls that go to purgatory belong to people who died in God's friendship. Purgatory isn't a place as much as is an existence after death where we can be purified for our sin. That's just a bunch of baloney. But you see how they, remember, people know the Bible, they read parts of it, and they put a wrong fear in a man. You know, the fear of God is wisdom, but there's a fear of wrong fear, you know. I mean, that's how communists run countries and around the world. You know, if you don't convert, you know, cut your head off, it's concentrated. And the religious people of the world have been doing this for a long time. Now, here's their answer to, well, where's purgatory in the Bible? Let me give you, remember, their answer, okay? Here it is. If you wonder where purgatory is in the Bible, then also wonder about this. So this is how you wonder. I'm going to ask you a question, you know, kind of like a straw man, and give you a question for it to get you away from the answer. Here it is. Where does the Bible say all Christians immediately go to heaven when you die? So they don't answer the question. They throw another question out. This is, remember, this is the material. This is not, you know, and a lot of this, you know why when you get it? You get the confidence to be able to talk to folks. You know, it is very important to talk to folks. You know why? I mean, nothing's better than me sitting down with somebody with an open Bible as a heart that says, how about that? We love that, brother? I mean, go on the streets, so people look at you, but someone sitting down with you and open a Bible, have ears, man, oh man, that's for the saint of God, that's just the joy time of all time, right? And be able to help them out and see their light and eyes open up. Man, and the God's using you to get someone some truth. Man, oh man. That's why we're here. You get that? And we understand some of these things here. You know what though? Hey, Lord, use me for something. You know, a lot of times I get a little routine, Baptist people. We get a little routine and we're comfortable. You know, get out of your little comfort level. Amen? So, and knowing this here, you'll know ahead of time what they think or been thought so you can minister to them. Not that I know more than you, but minister to them. Now, listen here. Here's the verse they give. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Let me read to you. The first verse to come to your mind, eternal security or are absent. We are confident, I say, and willing rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What a great verse. I mean, but, you know, remember now, they ain't got a Bible, and they quote that verse. Of course, it's in their modern Bibles. They change it, and it says Paul actually, what Paul was actually saying, they quote the verse here. It says, but we, it's a misquotation of the Bible. Paul actually says we would rather, emphasis added, be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And all the versions have that. So, I mean, it's like saying I'd rather be away from the office and at home with my family. Does not mean that once I step foot outside my office, I will ultimately be at home. See, they just take it out of the context. That's typical of these cults. Now, what's interesting is, I'll close this here, is Martin Luther was their, the guy that threw the rock down a dark alley, amen? Because he was a, quote, Catholic, a high-ranking Catholic, and he literally was the one that kind of brought on the, quote, Protestant Reformation. And I don't have right time for it. I will cover next time. But they quote this verse here. The existence of purgatory I have never denied. I still hold that it exists as I have written and admitted many times. They quote this verse. That's what they've said. Well, I'm going to cover next time. I've got actually his thesis right here. He didn't say that. See, they just will give you a fudge. Misinformation, so to speak. Amen? And they expect you to believe it. So I'm going to show you what Martin Luther says. And the reason why they can't stand him, because he used very bold words. I mean, if you read his testimony, and he has not had much light as we have today. You understand that? I mean, he wanted to take the book of James, rip it out of the Bible, because they kept... But you know what, though? He was a light at that time God used for what they gave him. And he called, I'll cover later, next time, next week here, his hellishness, and was very bold and strong. And that's, you know what, though? God liked that. You know, I mean, don't be a pansy. He was real strong in his language. So if God gives you a chance, you know, ask God for wisdom. But some of the words you use are very powerful. And I got to stop because I'm out of time. So what I'm going to do next time, come back. I'm going to continue to show you some nice doctrinal truths of this little conception that gives some good, solid doctrine. Were you okay? All right? Father in heaven. I know we didn't have a lot of time. It just seems to fly away when you just get some of these truths, Lord, and the Word of God. It's amazing. It never ends. So I just pray that we remember these requests. We'll look in some of these scriptures, Father, that have misguided tens of millions of people throughout the ages, currently and in the future, Father. So I just pray, Lord, that we can be lights and salt in a dark world, Father, and be able to capture these truths and hide them in our hearts, Father, be able to proclaim them, Lord, and be able to be used of you. What is better, Lord Jesus, than the God of heaven looking down on saved sinners like us and be able to bring forth some light to be able to transform people's lives? Oh, Lord, what a great honor that is. And I just pray in these latter days, they'd be able to put a little fire in the saints over here, Father, and be able to be used. Nothing better to be used of God. What an absolute joy it is to be used of the Lord. So we just pray as we close here today. I pray for Pastor Hoffman as he comes and ministers to us through the Word, through Sam and the music, and be able to have some fellowship with the saints. May you bless accordingly. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Part 2.